Well, happy Friday. At our office, we are in a full sprint to the finish line. And I know for all of you in the room, you're in a full sprint as well. And I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness this entire semester with Chapel. For folks watching online, we are always so glad that you're joining us. Well, on your Chapel schedule, originally it said Service Awards Chapel. And if you have been around DTS for a while, you know with the Service Awards Chapel, we honor people for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, and it's a fun celebration. We're going to do that in the fall in the new building. So in the new building, we are going to do the massive blowout for the Service Awards Chapel. But we still want to have a time to talk to our employees and hear about their stories. And so we've asked three of our faculty members, who are our newer faculty members, to join us today. It gives you an opportunity to get to know them. To my left is Dr. Kevin Gandy, who teaches in the EML department, Education Ministries and Leadership. I'm a little biased because that's my department as well. And I've shared earlier that with Dr. Gandy, I've given you all my class notes.
Yes, you have.
I know. So all my classes, he's now teaching them for me. And so it's been fun. And so we actually team taught a class in Atlanta. I was on the video screen. He was in Atlanta. We did the whole tag team thing. And so we'll get to know Dr. Gandy in just a little bit. But we have two other faculty members who are going to be joining us. I see in the screen right now, I see Dr. Jason Wheezy Poppy. So there's Dr. Wheezy Poppy. He is joining us from College Station, Texas. I'm a bias to that as well because, again, my Aggie heart just sings for joy with my fellow Aggie on the screen. So Dr. Wheezy Poppy also teaches in the Educational Ministries and Leadership Department, and he also has a dual role. He's also helping us with our online program, and I told Jason, I said his job description for online is to make sure our 101 courses are amazing. So for our folks who are online and you've taken Bible study methods or ST5101 or any of the 101 classes, Jason is helping our team make sure that those are home runs. And Jason's done a fantastic job with that. So he tag teams in both of those areas. And then we have one other person joining us, and we'll get him up on the screen as well. And that is going to be Dr. Tim Robinson. Is Tim on the screen? Oh, he needs to say something. Oh, well, they're saying just keep on going. So Tim is going to be joining us from Northern Ireland. So let me explain today as well. We were hoping to have Tim. You've also seen Tim Robinson's name on the chapel schedule, maybe multiple times. And we have been trying to get Tim here from Northern Ireland. Tim has finally gotten a visa interview. And Lord willing, there he is right there. And Lord willing, we're going to get Dr. Robinson here in May. And we're excited to have him as well. He is in the Pastoral Ministries Department. Well, we were going to have one other faculty member join us, and that's Dr. Stacy Davis. Dr. Davis, though, is on an airplane right now traveling to Washington, D.C. to teach at our Washington, D.C. campus. But you're going to get an opportunity to hear from Dr. Davis in the fall when she speaks here in chapel. Well, here's a fun thing with all three of these gentlemen that are in front of us today. I knew all three of you as THM students. I've now been here long enough that the folks who I had for THM students have now come back and are now the faculty members here at Dallas Theological Seminary. That's fun. That is really fun to see that happen. Well, I just want just very briefly, and because we're going to get into all the professional stuff a little bit later on, but the non-professional stuff. So, Kevin, just tell us real briefly, where's home for you originally, and any tidbit of fun facts about you?
Yeah, fun facts. Well, actually, I grew up on the East Coast in Charlotte, North Carolina. So when people ask, I technically say that even though I'm a city kid, I'm a Southerner at heart. I grew up in the middle of nowhere in a little tiny town on a farm. And now I'm very grateful to live in Dallas in the middle of the city. I love coffee shops. I love Texas brisket. I also really love traveling around the world. So I just hit in December my 66th country and fifth continent. So I'm always on an airplane. But when I'm here in Dallas, I love being here on campus and getting to explore some things around Dallas.
Yeah, you are definitely one of our more well-traveled faculty members. Follow him on social media and you're going to figure out, wow, where's this guy this time? So it's fun with that. Well, Jason, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Yeah, so I'm Jason Wheezy Poppy. I grew up in the Hill Country area of Texas, just north of San Antonio, a little town along I-10 called Bernie, Texas. And pretty much kind of made the three kind of triangle from the San Antonio, Austin area over to the Houston area up to the Dallas area. And now I kind of get to sit right in the middle of all of it in College Station. So fun fact about me is on top of my responsibilities at Dallas Seminary, I also get to serve as a chaplain in the United States Navy.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, and Tim Robinson.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, my name's Tim, and I'm calling from Belfast, Northern Ireland today. And probably my fun fact is you probably think I sound like a leprechaun because I hope you can understand me. We all sound like leprechauns over here in Ireland. When I first came to DTS as a student, I lived in Lincoln Hall, and they got me to say they're magically delicious. I think that's a commercial. So we're based here in Northern Ireland, and my wife Kerry is from America. And she's from Arizona, and we've got three children, Hannah, Abigail, and Caleb. And as Dr. Hillman said, in just a couple of weeks' time, we're looking forward to hopefully being on a plane over to Texas to move to the campus and to serve there in the pastoral ministries department.
I love that. I love that. Well, Tim, we're going to stay with you with our first question. And all three of you have interesting journeys of how you ended up at Dallas Theological Seminary. For some of you, you had other careers before coming to Dallas Seminary for your first time for master's degree. So, Tim, tell us, a kid from Northern Ireland, how did you end up in Texas to do your THM at Dallas Theological Seminary?
Well, it was an amazing journey for me. Probably about 20 years ago now, I was at college, university in London, and I moved over to London for my studies there, undergraduate studies, and there was a chapel on the campus of the college that I went to. And so I went to the Sunday evening services there, and I was just totally broken by what I saw. Lovely people, a lovely chaplain taking the service. But I think I maybe only saw him open the Bible maybe once or twice in 5 or 6 weeks of services. I remember in one of his sermons to the students, he had a captive audience. He held up an apple and he just began to speak about how we need to plant more apple trees in creation for the good of creation. And that was his sermon. And I was just totally broken by the liberalism and the lack of biblical teaching. So I stopped going to that chapel and I found a church in the center of London called All Souls Church, which was John Stott's church. I don't know if I'm sure you've heard of John Stott. And I sat Sunday by Sunday under expository preaching, and it changed my life. And after a couple of years of just Sunday by Sunday listening to the preaching of God's word and being shaped by it and molded by it and being transformed by it, I find myself sitting in the balcony of this church in London one Sunday evening and just offering my life to the Lord and saying, Lord, if there's any way you could use me to open up the scriptures, to feed souls the word of God, and to minister faithfully expositional preaching into the lives of people, then, Lord, here I am. Very quickly after that, then, I felt called, deeply called to go to seminary. I applied to a couple of different places in the States, and the Lord clearly directed me to DTS. And with that sense of call, just wanting to be equipped in preaching and in the scriptures, DTS, the 4 years studying at DTS changed my life, and it was a wonderful, wonderful journey.
I love that. I love that. Well, Jason, You had a whole career before you ever came to seminary. So tell us about your journey to Dallas Theological Seminary the first time.
Yeah, absolutely. So after I graduated from Texas A&M with my degree, I went to work for this small energy company in Houston called Enron, and where I was a commodities trader, and really, really enjoyed it there. But while we were there, my wife and I got involved with a church. And at that time, that church was focused on planting other churches in the greater Northwest Houston area. And we agreed to step onto a leadership team there, and ourselves with three other families, plus 20 other families that decided to join us. For the next couple of years, we began meeting and working together to plant a church in Northwest Houston. And as I was teaching and training, I began to realize that it's really hard to train people past the level where you've been trained, past where you've been taught. And so I remember back to my time at Texas A&M, the current gentleman who was discipling me at that time were Dallas Seminary grads. And I knew that if I wanted to get further training in God's word, to better think about things biblically and theologically, I needed further training. And there seemed like no other place to go than Dallas Seminary.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Kevin, I know you had an interesting journey ending up here at DTS as well. So what about your journey here?
Yeah. So growing up, I had always wanted to be a doctor. And so when I went off to college, I went to Marquette University up in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I started in the pre-med track. So I was bio major, was in class and in the library and in the lab all the time. And one day I got a call from a girl at the school who said, "Hey, we know you're a believer, you're an evangelical, and we need your help at Young Life." And I was like, "I don't know what Young Life is, but I mean, sure, if it's some sort of youth group thing, I guess I can come help out." So I started helping out with Young Life Club in an upper suburb of Milwaukee. And so I was going to class, doing my bio stuff, and then I was also helping out with Young Life. Well, over time, Young Life began to really draw my heart. Ministry really began to draw my heart. I could have cared less as much about the pre-med stuff as I did about the ministry stuff. So about, I'd say my junior year, I suddenly had to make a decision where I was like, do I go to med school or do I not go to med school? So I started praying about it and sitting in a chapel in North Carolina, I'll never forget God just saying, "Hey, put med school on hold, go off to seminary." And I didn't know anything about seminary. I didn't know anything about pastoral ministry. And so I said, "All right, well, here we go. I guess my senior year, I'm going to get my bio degree and go off to seminary." And so I Googled seminary. Literally, that's how I found seminary. And the first one at that time was Dallas Seminary. And I thought, here was my process.
I was going to say, God bless Google Analytics.
That's right. My process was, Dallas sounds like a cool place. I'd love to move there. So I came and visited. But as soon as I walked on this campus, I knew this would be home. And I came here and did the MA in cross-cultural ministries and loved it so much. I actually graduated and then decided to come back and do the THM because I just couldn't get enough. But yeah. Dallas has always felt like home to me. And so, I'm glad I ended up here.
I love that. All three of the stories are great. Well, so you graduated from here, all three of you, but then y'all done ministry. You left and actually used your degree in ministry. So Kevin, tell us about your journey after graduating from DTS, what you've been up to.
Yeah, so after I got my THM, I really began praying, you know, "Hey God, what's next?" And I was in the ordination track with the Presbyterian Church here in Dallas and love my position here up working with middle schoolers in Highland Park. But God actually opened up some doors for me to move out to California and continue in the ordination process. And so I was actually ordained out in Los Angeles with a church out there. And when I got there, that church actually ended up splitting, which is really unfortunate. I hope no one ever has to go through that process in a church, but it does happen quite often. And so I had to go through that. But me and part of the church actually helped launch a brand new church in our communities. That's what I've been doing for the last 5 years. We launched a church called Real Life LA. We got to church plant kind of unexpectedly, but I got to really use my giftings and helping launch a brand new middle school ministry. A brand new high school ministry, a brand new senior adult ministry. Because, you know, when you're church planning, you do everything.
Yeah.
So that's what I've been doing out in LA. But then at the same time that I moved out there, I started my PhD here at DBU. And so I spent 5 years flying back and forth between LA and Dallas once a month to attend my PhD seminars at DBU and to do all my research that I was working on for my dissertation. So yeah, it's been a busy 5 years, lots of time on an airplane and lots of things going on, but it is good to be back from California.
That's cool.
Yeah.
That's cool. So Jason, what about you? With you graduated from DTS and you jumped right into ministry as well.
I did. I came on staff at Grace Bible Church in College Station, Texas, where I served for a number of years. At that time when I came on staff, Grace Bible Church was just beginning its putting its foot out, its little toe in the water of, hey, what does it look like to have more campuses? What does it look like to further our reach for the gospel here in the Bryan College Station area? So I came on staff on actually one of our on the very first campus that we planted outside of the original campus, and worked with Grace to really help develop what is our church planning strategy going to look like as we begin to create and bring new campuses, and specifically looking at our ministries, everything from early childhood to high school to college, because here that's a significant portion of our ministry. Half of our congregation are between the ages of 18 and 22 and attend Texas A&M University and Blinn College. And so we have a great outreach to college students, and then thinking through to our adults as well. And today we now have five campuses that we reach out. We have two of those specifically. One is a Mandarin Chinese campus, focusing on mainland Chinese here in the College Station area, and then others spread in different strategic locations. And now beginning to look at what does that look like to partner with other churches to do that in other areas, other cities around the United States and actually the world. So what does it look like to partner with other family campus, college campus ministry-based churches? And I did that for a number of years, and then stepped off for a few years to help a friend and doing some things. And right before coming on to faculty here at Dallas Seminary, along that time also joined with the Navy Reserves and currently serve with the Marine Corps.
That's awesome. Well, and then for Tim, for you, you left Dallas because you're back in Northern Ireland. So what after you left seminary, what were you doing ministry-wise?
Yeah, we've been back here in Northern Ireland for the last 13 years, and we've been involved in pastoral ministry here. Initially, my wife Carrie and I served in a youth ministry, really trying to reach young people in Northern Ireland for Jesus and disciple them and take them on a journey of discipleship. So we did that for 3 years, and that was wonderful. And then we spent the last 10 years in a local church here in Belfast, just pastoring, trying to love the people in our church, trying to feed the scriptures faithfully Sunday by Sunday through preaching and teaching and discipleship, and trying to encourage our church to really follow Christ, go deeper with him, and then wider into our community, into our city, and into our world. So it's been a wonderful 13 years of ministry in Northern Ireland.
I love that. I love that. Well, so all three of you came to seminary, graduated, put your degree to work. All three of you were involved in ministry. And I'm going to say the word successful. I mean, just in the sense of you were doing what you came here for. So why in the world would you leave church ministry and come work at Dallas Theological Seminary? And I'm going to just open that up as a round robin for whoever wants to jump in first. I want to hear from all three of you, but you know, talk about this pull coming back to the campus, coming back specifically into being a professor here at the seminary.
Well, maybe I'll go first. We don't have Chipotle in the UK, and there's that was a big draw for me, but the more spiritual answer is that, you know, the Lord's call is just incredible. And in fact, my good friend, Dr. Jonathan Murphy, he uses this phrase that God custom packages his call for each one of us. And he very much custom packaged a call for my wife, Carrie, and I over the last 2 years. Sometimes when God calls us in the scriptures, we see it's kind of instant. It's like overnight, or it's quickly, you need to move somewhere or go somewhere. But sometimes it's also a slow process. And so over the last 2 years, I would say the Lord's call came to us to come back to DTS to serve in the faculty in maybe 2 to 3 ways. As I was thinking this through in preparation for the chapel, I remember God really moved my heart. So in Proverbs 21, verse 1, the writer says, the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He moves it wherever he pleases. And God began to move my heart. I'd been preaching for 10, 13 years here. But God really moved my heart. I began to beat for I really want to train up the next generation of preachers and teachers and encourage them to go out all over the world. So I find my heart beating for teaching opportunities. Then God spoke into our lives. I just began to read my Bible and began to journal and began to fast and began to pray and wait on the Lord. And it's amazing when you go with a hungry heart and an open heart, truly open to the Lord, how he speaks. And God spoke into our lives, particularly through 1 Timothy 4, verse 13, where Paul says to Timothy, devote yourself to the reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. And I find this phrase all through the New Testament in my readings, preaching and teaching. And I sense the Lord was saying, Tim, you've been preaching in the local church, but I want to also use you to teach in the classroom to train up next generation of preachers and teachers. And then in addition to the Lord moving my heart and speaking into our lives, he opened up just a wonderful opportunity to serve in the pastoral ministries department. And so it's been a long journey of waiting on the Lord, but his call has been so clear. And we just want to follow him and serve him. And so we're excited to come alongside men and women at seminary students and just come alongside them and encourage them and equip them in the scriptures and to serve in the local church. So that was our journey back to DTS.
That's great.
Well, George, I must say, I never thought that I would be back here. If you would have said to me as a student that I would eventually be here as a faculty, I would have said no way. So if you're sitting here today as a student, that may be your journey. One day you might end up in the classroom here teaching at the seminary. So don't ever discount that. But I got my PhD in 2019 at the end of the year. And 2 weeks after I defended my dissertation, the job opened up here at DTS. And I don't think I've ever seen a job open up at DTS because I hear people don't really leave. And so, you know, you look around your professors and people have been here a while. I'm now working alongside of people that taught me and taught generations before me. So I was a little bit intimidated to even apply because I was like, there's no way they're going to give the job to a 33-year-old guy, newly defended dissertation. They're going to give it to an older person. I don't even have a shot. But my mom encouraged me. She's like, just put in your resume. It'll be good experience interviewing at the least. And so I did. And the more that we started having conversations, the more just this door started opening. And I just didn't even believe it because I really had hoped to stay in California and stay in ministry. But every door there shut and every door here opened. And I just remember talking to a friend and them going, this is your time. It's time to go back to Dallas. And so I hear what Tim is saying. I resonate with some of your words that it's cool to get to be a part of coaching and teaching the next generation of students. We've been doing seminary education the same way for the last 100 years. And it's time for a change. I'm a relational kind of teacher and a professor, and I think we are now turning into professor as coach rather than just professor as lecturer, and helping come alongside of you guys as students on the ground doing ministry and helping do some transformational life change as well as content delivery in the classroom. And I'm excited to get to be a part of this new delivery of information with the seminary as we even move into online platforms and hybrid classes all around the country. I think it's an exciting time to be here. And so it was a good moment to say, all right, I'm going to trust you, Lord, and come back to the motherland.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And Jason, what about you?
Well, what I'm going to say, Dr. Hillman, is I'm going to try to explain this a little bit differently than I did a couple of weeks ago when I was asked the exact same question, because then I got to this part where I was wrapping up and my wife jumped in and said, so what I sounds like what you're saying is it's all George Hillman's fault. And so I'm going to change that up just a little bit. But really, for me, it was the coming together of a couple of streams in life, is what I like to say. After 17 years of serving on two church staffs, about 10 years in private business, several years of serving in the Marine Corps, serving in the Navy, and then several years being in leadership at Dallas Seminary, the Lord had just laid on my heart that, you know, he's grown me, developed me in a number of areas. I've seen a lot of different aspects to leadership and the way that he works, and that it was time for me to step foot back on the campus at Dallas Seminary and begin to pass along some of those great lessons and truths that I've learned along the way to the next generation.
And I was going to say, that's kind of my story as well. I was in pastoral ministry for 13 years. And I was 32 when I came here. So it was crazy with them giving me a job here. And so, yeah, we have stories to talk about with that. And it was the opportunity to impact not just the folks in the four walls of your church, but literally to impact the world. And you have an opportunity to rub elbows with folks from literally around the world. And it's so much fun to see folks launch out and serve in ministry. Well, all three of you have areas of interest. Some of you are working on books. Some of you are developing new courses. What are you excited about researching, teaching, writing on? What are some of those things that you have brewing that you want to tackle in this new role? It's a round robin again. Yeah.
Well, I'll kick it off. I'm actually working on some things personally, and then things with the seminary. Personally, I study sort of Gen Z leadership engagement. It's some stuff that I started working on with my dissertation at DBU. I went over to Southwest England and measured Gen Z engagement with churches and religious institutions, and so I want to continue doing that here at the seminary. But England's obviously shut down, so I can't go over there and continue my research. So I'm sort of shifting the paradigm to think more about some of the American influences of Gen Z engagement here. Dr. Paul Pettit and I are working on a new book on Gen Z leadership, and so we're developing some research centered around that. But then also in what I love about my job in the EML department is I get to teach a lot of leadership classes. And so if you've been in some of those leadership classes, we cover a lot of leadership theory. And one of my areas of research is this idea of sort of adaptive leadership to servant leadership, and really measuring how churches can actually grow in their adaptive capacity to change, because the world is changing. The church is changing. It changes every day. It changes every hour. But a lot of our churches are stagnant to growth and stagnant to change. And the more that we can help church leaders and pastors have tools in their toolkit, you guys to have tools in your toolkit to help your congregations not only change, not only grow, not only adapt, but to thrive. Is the key to that adaptive leadership work. And so that's some of the work that I'm working on personally. But then also in the ML department, we've got classes all over the country. Back in the day, people would come here to Dallas. And, when I was in school here, there was tons of people on campus. And if you wanted to take a class, you had to come right here to Dallas. But now we offer classes literally all over the world. And that is a beautiful thing. Through our hybrid approaches or online classes, we get students from all over the place. I'd say most of my students don't live here in Dallas. And so I'm excited to get to work with the ML department as we continue to unroll some new classes in these new formats. I mean, we're working on some research right now in the department to measure the student engagement as well in hybrid versus Zoom hybrid versus online versus in-person as we're redesigning some of the EML 5-101 classes. That's some of the stuff that I'm working on. And I'm excited to get to continue with that. And I'm glad that the seminary supports that for their faculty.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Either one of our other guys?
I'm really excited, obviously, to come into the pastoral ministries department and encourage, the preaching classes and serve there and come alongside students and encourage and equip them to correctly handle the Word of God. But some of my past research in doctoral ministries studies has been this kind of combination of preaching and spiritual formation. So I became fascinated over the last couple of years. Obviously, we at DTS fully believe in, the need for faithful preaching of the Word of God. And I just started to explore the relationship between spiritual formation and preaching. So how do we encourage people to correctly handle the scriptures and preaching, but not just fill heads with knowledge, but also preach in such a way and minister in such a way that hearts are truly formed into the image of Christ. And obviously, that's a work of the Holy Spirit, but I began researching how we can intentionally increase our emphasis in preaching and teaching on spiritual formation so that lives are changed and the scriptures are fed to the heart of congregants. So that's something I'm really interested to continue researching and maybe to contribute into the pastoral ministries department as well.
I remember meeting Tim and his wife before they were married. They were spiritual formation fellows, and that's where I first got to know them as in our spiritual formation program as spiritual formation fellows. Jason, what about you?
Well, mine kind of dovetails a lot of off of what Tim had to say, and that's, you know, in my experience in leadership in different organizations, particularly church, parachurch areas, where, you know, come alongside of people who knew their Bible and their theology well, but would continually bump their heads in the area of leadership. And so mine really starts in that I live and breathe leadership development. That's just a passion of mine. And how do we couple what the scriptures are saying in the area of leadership and continue to help people and train people to know and study their Bible and love the Lord well, while also leading others well. And for me, that first begins with the area of personal leadership development, and not just a change of habit, but a change of heart. And what does that look like? Because people who are developed well at the heart change level, they begin to develop others well. And that then just overflows into their organizations, whether it's at school or at a church or parachurch, wherever that might be, out on the mission field. It just begins to effuse into the lives of others. And so that's always a continual heartbeat of mine, is that personal, then organizational leadership development. And then in that, how do we create cultures that continue to accentuate leadership development, continue to bring it about and emphasize it? I'm also very passionate along, again, dovetailing off of what Kevin had to say, is that looking at different ways, modes of delivery formats, of the way that we deliver our content as a school, not just in Dallas, not just across our campuses, but really around the world.
That's awesome. Well, here's our final question. And this is your opportunity to hit the ball any direction you want to go. All three of you sat in chapel. Now, you sat old in the old Chafer Chapel, but you were all three sitting in chapel. What is the one thing that you wish you had heard when you were a student at Dallas Theological Seminary? And again, we'll do this one round robin, whoever wants to go first. What's one piece of advice, or what's something you wish you had heard? Or maybe you heard it and you didn't listen. You heard it, but it went in one ear and out the other. What's one piece of advice you have for students that are sitting in these chairs today?
I would say for me, I learned it late, and I wish I would have known it earlier coming in to my THM process. So I've been married to my wife, Jamie, and we're about to celebrate 23 years of marriage, and we have three kids, a 16-year-old son, a 14-year-old daughter, an 11-year-old daughter. And during my third year at Dallas Seminary, to our surprise, not to the Lord's, we found out that we were pregnant with our first, that 16-year-old boy. Jamie always had talked about that she'd be pregnant as I walked the stage graduating, and she was, but it was with our second child and not our first. And so what that caused me to have to do in that moment was I had to slow down my pace of seminary and not charge as hard as I'd been charging. I mean, I was doing the fall, winter, spring, and summer sessions, and I'd been doing that for 3 years because I had a full-time ministry job as well. So I could only take about 9 to 10 hours in the regular semesters, and I had to keep that pace so that I could stay on track to graduate in 4 years. Well, slowing down in that last year, and basically what I did is I took my last year and divided it over 2 years, was probably the best thing for me. I really had the time to stop and drink deep of what I was taking and not just trying to get the next assignment done. And I would take time in those earlier years to really focus in on certain areas, but not to the depth that I necessarily wanted to at that time. And when I left, graduated seminary with my THM, I left refreshed. I left with a greater love for the Lord than I had. And my family was healthy. We were just in a great spot. And so I wish, and I'm sure somebody told it to me early on, I probably didn't listen. But I guess the main concept really is that seminary is not a sprint. You know, take time to approach your courses, your relationships, your ministry involvement, with the heart of pulling it all together and being able to drink deeply at what you're getting. Because you'll never have another time like this in your life. That's mine.
That's great. Great advice.
Mine follows on from Jason's. I actually would love to share with you something that I did here. It was in my second year of seminary, and we were in the original Chafer Chapel, and Dr. Swindoll was preaching, and I'll never forget what he said. He was preaching on Paul, the life of Paul in Galatians and then in Acts, and he was mentioning and tracking through the life of Paul how when Paul was converted, you know the story so well, he went first to Arabia, and you know, many people think that he was there for a number of years, potentially 3 years, and I remember Dr. Swindoll saying, there's nothing in Arabia, just sheep. But yet, as Dr. Swindoll preached to us about this time in Arabia, it became clear that Dr. Swindoll was saying, this is when God really formed Paul deeply for a lifetime of ministry. And then Chuck looked at us in the eyes, as it were, and he said, this is your Arabia. You're here for 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, 6 years, some of us. And he said, this is your Arabia. This is your time to go deep. This is your time to be formed, to be shaped for a lifetime of ministry. And so just to dovetail off what Jason said, this is an incredible opportunity that you have at DTS as a student to allow the Lord to shape you deeply and to work deeply on your heart and form you and equip your hands for ministry, for a lifetime of ministry. And if you're about to graduate and you're about to leave Arabia, I encourage you for the rest of your ministry to go back to the lessons you learned in seminary. Go back to the well that and draw from the well of the deep truths that the Lord imparted and instilled into you during this season. And for those of you who are going to be here next year or for the next few years, this is your Arabia. Go deep with the Lord and enjoy it, and he will use you for a lifetime of giving glory to his son.
Love that.
Well, yeah, adding to what they had to say, one of my greatest memories as a student here at DTS was having dinner at Dr. Michael Pocock's house. I don't know if you guys are familiar with Dr. Pocock. He's retired now. I think he's professor emeritus or something of missions. But one day we were in class and he said, hey, why don't you guys come over for dinner? My wife will cook spaghetti. And I remember thinking, I've never had a professor invite me over to their house for their wife to cook a spaghetti. And so I went and I was like, what do I wear? What do I say? Like, it's Dr. Pocock, you know? And so we went out there and his living room was full of students. Now with COVID, it gets a little tricky nowadays. But I will never forget literally sitting on the floor of Dr. Pocock's living room and him going, call me Mike, and call my wife Penny, and them just serving us plates of spaghetti. And I had no money to my name. And so I was very thankful for that opportunity to get to sit in my professor's house and have dinner and just talk about ministry and missions and life. And I remember thinking it just kind of those were one of the few moments in seminary that I actually felt truly enriched, because you go to the classroom and you download all this content and then you write a paper and then you run away from the campus because we're working in ministry or working at a church. And I know many of you, if you were like me, I was busy in ministry when I was here at DTS. And so I was constantly driving between the church and school. And a lot of days it just ended up, I got to go to class, and I'd run into class and I'd jump right back over to the church. And that's really the case for a lot of students here, because many of you are plugged into ministry somewhere locally or somewhere else. And so school kind of becomes sort of a byproduct, secondary to the church. And I really encourage you to think a little differently about that, because we, like these guys are saying, is ministry is a lifetime. And we have our entire lives to work in the church, but you're only at seminary for 2, 3, 4, 5 years. And I wish I could get some of those years back and spend a little bit more time just slowing down, spending more time on campus, sending professors an email and saying, hey, let's go grab, a meal or coffee and let me just pick your brain, instead of just rushing back to do ministry and to the church meeting that I got to go to, and really just taking time to really sit and learn and reflect, and rather than it just being this hurried process. And we all live busy lives. And so I encourage you guys to do that. So I'm going to give you some homework. If you're a student either here today in the room or listening online, I encourage you to go and just send your one of your professors an email or a text message and say, hey, I'd like to go grab coffee, or hey, I'd like to go grab lunch. If you're a professor in the room, I'm putting you to work, because those are awesome times. Now that I get to sit on the other side and get to spend time with students, I love those moments. And it's just such a good time for us to learn from each other and grow together. So go send a professor an email or a message and say, hey, let's hang out and spend some time outside the classroom, because those are real formative times.
That's awesome. Well, guys, all three of you, thank you so much for sharing with us. And what's fun is this is the next generation. This is the next generation of Dallas Theological Seminary. And I am so encouraged about the men and women who are leading us into the 21st century. So would you give a round of applause for the folks for helping us today? And let me lead us in prayer. Gracious Father, one thing that we're just constantly reminded about is that Dallas Theological Seminary is so much bigger than us. Father, your hand has been on this institution for almost 100 years. As we celebrated a couple weeks ago with the inauguration of Dr. Yarbrough, Father, you have been faithful, and you will continue to be faithful. What you have done in the past, we can be steadfast and sure that you will do in the future. Thank you for bringing all of the men and women who serve here at Dallas Theological Seminary, the next generation. And Father, we look forward to the next 100 years of this institution as we teach truth and we love well. Father, as we come to the end of this semester, for all of us, renew and refresh us. And we do pray these things in the name of your Son and the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen.